The games with the Raiders were not games. No games are fun, you know. These were wars.
This gentleman has been working for 7 years over in Candlestick Park, and that's only 7 miles of water away from that house of horrors, the Oakland Coliseum.
We had guys that hated him. They would openly say, I hate the Raiders. And then if you talk to the Raiders football team, we hate the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, it's only a game, right? Not this one. This is not only a game. This is Raider Week.
Rivalries, no matter what sport, are built on big games. If you don't play big games that matter to each team, it's not going to be a rivalry. Chicago and Green Bay, that's geography. That's why they can't stand each other. The Chiefs and Raiders didn't have geography, but they had those games in the 60s that created this feeling.
The great storied rivalries in the NFL are rivalries as much for fans as they are for the players. With this, there is genuine animosity, there's genuine ill will, and that's one of the things that makes football great, is in the face of all that, your team prevails.
Kansas City and Oakland, it seemed like, it was always a big game. It was always the NBC game late on Sunday afternoons.
And this is the NFL Game of the Week.
That all of America was saying, we got to watch this because it's really fun. They played competitive, important games that meant something.
Even before the Chiefs were the Chiefs, the rivalry began when they were the Dallas Texans. So the rivalry goes way back.
The Raiders, the first couple years, weren't really a winning team until late in the game. Both teams were just desperately trying to build young, up-and-coming teams.
They had no practice facilities. I think the guys that survived those early Raider years had to be tough guys.
I didn't always think of the Raiders all the time as being the team. The Chargers were a tough team. We didn't have the gritty rivalry with the Chargers, but they were the most formidable opponent in our Western Division.
And then the Raiders, they were just kind of a nasty team early on. I don't think they were real good, but they were a little bit nastier than a lot of the other ones. That kind of stuck in your craw, so we developed somewhat of a rivalry with them.
Because of the early struggles in Oakland, the relationship between the two teams was in its infancy. But as the Texans began the 1962 season, led by All-Star quarterback Cotton Davidson, the surprise last-minute addition of a young free agent from Ohio would spark the first chapter in this storied rivalry.
We didn't know anything about Lenny Dawson. We knew he had been a really good college player, but he also hadn't played in 5 years. And he just did not look like a football player.
So when Henry was able to get Lenny to come to us, Lenny hadn't played a lot. As training camp went on, Lenny just got better and better. It was obvious the way he was playing, he was getting the job done.
Once he got into football uniform, he started looking a whole lot better. And by the end of the training season, it was apparent that that Lenny was going to be the guy.
Dawson, trying to get a receiver. Look at that rush on him. He throws.
So once that was established, Cotton became available.
The Raiders were arguably the weak link in an AFL that was still struggling. And they were a team essentially without a quarterback. Lamar, always realizing that the league was only going to be as strong as its weakest link, without Hank Stram's approval, traded Davidson to the Raiders for the rights to Oakland's first-round draft pick in the 63 draft. And when Hank Stram found out about it, he was furious.
Hank liked Cotton, and Cotton was, there was nothing to dislike about Cotton. Cotton had a great arm, he was intelligent, and was a good football player.
Coaches like to coach, like to cut the people that they want to cut. But owner's own. So Lamar Hunt, he was interested in the Dallas Texans. Yes, of course. But he was a guy that formed the American Football League, and he wanted to see that succeed.
Hank Stram felt as if it was usurping his authority. He briefly considered quitting, and the Raiders finished dead last anyway. That first-round pick became the first pick in the 1963 draft, and the franchise used it on Junius Buck Buchanan, who is today in Canton, Ohio, in the Hall of Fame.
The right foot onto the 30-yard line by Buck Buchanan. He laid it over that defensive standard.
It was a very good trade. In those days, you probably could get luckier on some trades than you can nowadays. There wasn't as much information.
How do I view the trade? Fabulous. They're both Hall of Famers. You know, who wouldn't want those two guys? It'd be a stoopnagel if you didn't want those guys on your team. So, it was one of the most fortuitous trades that they ever made. No question about it.
It certainly set a tone of the franchise owned by Lamar Hunt getting the best of the Raiders. Ultimately, they went ahead and won the AFL championship and got Buchanan. It was a glorious fleecing for the franchise, and it probably set the Raiders back a little bit further.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by PrimeSport. Get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party presented by Bud Light at primesport.com/chiefs. An us against the world mentality brought members of 8 organizations together in the early days of the AFL. Opponents on game day, but comrades off the field. Each team had individuals that played a part in the fight for relevance against the established National Football League. In Oakland, that man was Al Davis.
Al was a fighter. He wanted to be in a fight, whether it was through his Raiders playing on the field or through the business relationship that the AFL and the NFL had. He was a very tough person and a tough personality, and I think he really liked that aura that he was perceived as a tough guy.
For Lamar, the other owners were always partners. They were always in that together. That stemmed from the early days of the AFL. And so even as he would have these classic battles with other franchises, he remained very friendly with other owners. Obviously, Al Davis had a different view. Al Davis was not interested in competition. Al Davis was interested in domination. Al Davis wanted to win the Battle of the Wills and wanted to do whatever it took to do so. And so as Al became more and more of a maverick and more of a rebel, his philosophy butted up much more clearly against Lamar's worldview.
I want you to know that this is your team, and I hope you'll grow with us as we grow.
Al Davis was a polarizing figure because I think he was singularly focused on his team being a dominant team, that he would have been very happy if he was 14-0 and everybody else was 0-14. He wanted the AFL to succeed because he wanted the Raiders to succeed. And I don't think Al Davis really was that much into the league concept. It was all about the Raiders.
And yet for all of that, Lamar's friends say that he never spoke ill of Al Davis. I remember one of his friends telling me he would complain to Lamar, you know, Al Davis is the biggest SOB in the world. And Lamar would sort of smile and say, well, sometimes Al can be difficult to deal with.
We all knew that Lamar Hunt didn't have a great love for the Raider organization. And he wouldn't come out and say anything. That's just not his nature. But we knew they weren't high on his list.
I remember sitting in my office at 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden I feel two eyes on me before the Raider game. Guess who it was? Lamar Hunt. Good luck this weekend, you know. Got to beat those guys.
Lamar was an extremely modest, humble, gracious person. Never would say a bad word about anybody. But I do know he relished those victories over those Raiders.
Al had become the commissioner of the AFL. Al was very much in favor of continuing the fight. That was sort of his personality. My father and some of the other owners, though, decided that it would be better to try to merge with the NFL. And so without Al's blessing, my dad went to Tex Ram and started the ball rolling on what eventually became the merger of the two leagues.
My enthusiasm has not diminished for the job in the years to come.
Al Davis would stop at nothing to get players, to steal players from the NFL. Without Al Davis in the AFL, there's a good chance that the NFL would have moved much more slowly toward a merger.
And so this war is escalating. As Lamar and Tex are trying to hammer out these subtle negotiating points, every time they turn around, Al Davis has raided another starting quarterback from an NFL team. On one hand, Lamar really wished that Al would stop doing this because he was trying to get this deal that was going to save all eight AFL teams. On the other hand, and Lamar would admit this later, Al's guerrilla warfare only served to strengthen the bargaining position of the AFL.
Who does this panel think won the war?
I feel that's a league matter.
On June 8, 1966, the day the merger is announced, at the AFL offices, one of the assistants then, Val Pinchbeck, is getting ready to go to the hotel where Pete Rozelle and Lamar Hunt and Tex Schramm are going to jointly announce this merger between the AFL and the NFL. And he says, Al, are you going to go there for the press conference? And Al says, no. And all Al says is, remember Yalta. And that was his view of it, because he felt as though the AFL had not dealt from strength. He felt that they had made a bad deal. However, Al Davis was out of a job on the morning of June 8, 1966, because the commissioner for both leagues was going to be Pete Rozelle of the NFL. There wouldn't have been any point in it for Al Davis because there's nobody to battle. If it's just one league, there's no enemy. What interested him in being a commissioner was taking the fight to the NFL. But he still disliked the fact that the negotiations were done behind his back and he was out of a job as soon as the merger was signed.
The merger would not be the end of the disagreements between Lamar and Al. In business and in sport, the two men were polar opposites. And as the 60s wore on, their animosity would carry over onto the field.
Raider Week, once the Raiders got pretty darn strong, was the important game for the Kansas City Chiefs, because they're in our division. You know, if you can't beat them, then you can't go on to where you want to go, and that's to the postseason and to the Super Bowl.
By the end of the 60s, it was developing into the best rivalry in pro football. You had two of the best franchises in pro football. You had two franchises that were way ahead of the curve in terms of opportunities offered for African-American players.
Come on, Ben! Let's go!
It was like seeing the future in the late 60s.
When we looked at the schedule, where are they? Because it's going to be a very important game. It may determine who's going to win the division championship and go on to the playoffs.
And so then you had two teams battling fiercely for the championship of the AFL West Division. In 66, the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. In 67, the Raiders go to the Super Bowl. In 68, they tie for the division title, and the Raiders rout the Chiefs in a playoff game. And so there was this sense of two teams both ready to establish themselves as dominant powers, but they kept running into each other along the way.
1969. It was one heck of a year for the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was not an easy year because of the Oakland Raiders. Played them three times, twice in the regular season, and then for the championship game.
He's back in the end zone, 8 yards. Dawson throws a wobble.
In the very last game between two AFL franchises, the Chiefs beat Oakland in Oakland. A crushing defeat for the Raiders, a great victory for the Chiefs, and that's what keeps Oakland out of Super Bowl IV.
I'll never forget this. When the game was over, we're out by the bus waiting for everybody to get ready to joyously go back to Kansas City. They had to carry their suitcases past us to their vehicles. It was the finest thing that I ever witnessed. You know, after those guys beat the heck out of me all the time, to see them humbly leaving. And what I really wanted to do is say, hey, enjoy your few days off. You guys really earned it. You know, have a good off season. It was the last game for the American Football League. That is something so special because the rivalry was so intense. And I think that's good. And I think it's even a better thing that we won that championship game to go to the Super Bowl.
I've played football for over 25 years, all levels of the game, and never in all of those years have I been involved in a rivalry like the Kansas City-Oakland Raider football rivalry.
The most disheartening loss to the Raiders was in Kansas City in 70. We had a 3-point lead with less than 2 minutes to go. Third and 3 or 4. I remember the play. I told the huddle, I'm calling a sweep to the left, but I'm going to keep the ball. They had to stop us. If we make the first down, the game is over. I faked it, kept the ball, and got down the field. I had the first down, and I went down. But I knew against the Raiders, because you go down doesn't mean it's over for them.
The game is iced. It's over. The Chiefs have now won. They can run out the clock. But about what seemed like 10 minutes after Dawson was on the ground, here comes Ben Davidson, helmet first, and spears Dawson in the back. And what breaks out is years of frustration boiling over and this full tilt melee.
And when it cleared, the official said, offsetting penalties, go back to the third down play. And we didn't make the first down and had to punt. And George Blanda kicked a field goal close to 50 yards to tie the game.
And it's good!
Had we won the division. The next time we played them, they beat us, and that was the end of our line right there.
It was a staggering, crushing tie because the Chiefs were so close, and they felt that rightly they should have won that game.
It's one of those games that I think is one of the key catalysts in creating the great Chiefs-Raider rivalry that we still enjoy today.
That was a personification of the rivalry. You could see the personalities of the two teams, but that was sort of the apotheosis, if you will, of the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by Prime Sport. Get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party presented by Bud Light at primesport.com/chiefs. The Chiefs Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story of her adventure.
When I came back to the Chiefs, I walked to my office and I opened the door and there's a life-size picture of Al Davis cut up, dressed in his all white. I almost had a heart attack. It looks so real and everybody is just falling over laughing. I wheeled around and hit that statue and I hit it right on the chin and his head flew off about 15 feet across the room. The players jumped up and ran out the door. I go, well, we got this one.
Time and a better time. Shut the door on the Oakland Raiders.
On the next Chiefs Kingdom.
Marty really wanted to beat them.
I always asked him,
that's where I'm out.
What did the Raiders do that upset you so greatly?
He talked with the most hate I've ever heard about another team in my life.
But for Marty, it was special, especially when they just won and won and won and won and won.
Toss power trap.